Well, we've been in a series. Go ahead and hand out the notes there. We've been in a series called Putting God First in Our Life and understanding that His ways are higher than our ways. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. If anybody can preach on this subject, I can, because it's taken me a long time to be able to learn to trust God. How about you? To learn to trust Him in different places, different areas of our life. Some people struggle, you know, they just learn, like we talked about, you can struggle to trust God with your finances. You can struggle to trust God in your marriage. You can struggle to trust God with forgiving people. All these different areas that are dynamic and powerful in our life when we follow His ways. And the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. How many done it your own way long enough to where you're so tired because it doesn't work? That's why the name of this message is Trust God's Way. Tell somebody it works. Go ahead, it works. Trust God's way, it works. One of you say, trust God's way. Another one next to you say, it works. Go ahead. Trust God's way because it works. Lean out on your own understanding. And there are times when you just get analysis paralysis and you feel like it's all dependent on you and you got to solve the problem and God comes along. It's amazing how people have been stuck for years and years and years in a situation and then they finally try God's way. And next thing you know, they're unstuck, just like that. It's amazing. Be bound up in a sense of bitterness or hurt, and then next thing you know, you say, I want to try God's way, and you submit to the power of Jesus' forgiveness, you receive His forgiveness for being bitter, and then you release that bitterness by forgiving the people, and now you're like, hey, you don't have to live under the stress of doing your own way anymore, because your own way will kill you. There's a way that seems right to a man that leads to death. Well, they don't deserve to be forgiven. Well, let me just go ahead and explain to you, you don't either. But Jesus has died for us all. And it's like you owe Him $1 million. Let's say you owe God $1 million in debt. And you know what Jesus provided on the cross? $100 billion. So you're a piece of cake. Trillions. Trillions available of forgiveness. Trillions available for forgiveness. And you can be forgiven and you can forgive and learn the power of His way. Because it works. And you don't die early. You don't have all kinds of certain diseases in your body because of bitterness. It's amazing when you choose life instead of cursing. When you choose His way instead of death. It's extraordinary. God's ways work. They work. You can be damaged by the fact that I knew a guy, his father took his paycheck and went to the racetrack and bet his money on the horses and lost it. And he was also an alcoholic. The kid grew up and he didn't believe in tithing because he figured if he gave the money to God, he'd just go bet it on horses. But he broke through. He broke through. And as he broke through that, he began to trust God and God began to prosper him. Isn't that amazing? Because God's not an alcoholic and He's not a gambler. He knows what to do with the money that's entrusted to Him and He knows how to take the things and cause the principle is when you bring it here, the Bible teaches in the book of Hebrews that God receives it as unto Himself when you place it in the hands of these people who represent Him. It's an extraordinary truth, and His gospel continues, and the impact of His life begins to flow out of a place because people learn His ways. Go ahead and say it works. God's ways work. And I wanted to, before we jump in a little further, let's just bow our heads and receive let's pray this. Father God, I asked today that You would reveal Your love, the depth of Your love, to each heart here. That there would be something of the deposit of Your great love into us that would change us. And Holy Spirit, we thank You for doing Your part and coming to our hearts and revealing those areas of our own need to us, so that we can receive Your promise. I pray that You would make alive the promise of Your word, make alive the promise of Your power in us to bring us through. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want us to look at this whole process of how God's way works, and we're going to be thumping at the, thank God for what happened earlier, addressing the spirit of fear. How many of you know that's I don't, you know, every time you come to church, you never know what God's. Heather asked me this morning. Says, "You mean you're not going to be preaching on what you've been studying on?" I said, "Well, some of that'll come in there." But I got up this morning, and this whole different thing started churning. And it's like God says, "You got to address this." And I didn't know. I kept asking, "How come this doesn't feel as live as it did yesterday?" Because that's not what I'm saying today. You're trusting me. How many of you have found that you got to really trust in the Lord to hear and get it together? And so if there's anybody that needs to get it together, it's me. And He gets me together by me coming to Him. Have you had to go to the Lord and Him put you back together too? You be going along somewhere, and they go, "Hey, where are you going? You doing your own thing again?" I'm sorry. And we can trust. I want us to have three declarations today, basically three simple declarations that will help us. I want to ask you to affirm and speak these during the week. I believe these declarations are real tools, that when you put them in your spirit, we've been singing one of them. In fact, go ahead and put up the first one. This first one here, "I am no longer a slave to fear. I'm a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear." Would you say that? "I am no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God." Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's a powerful thing. Powerful thing. I was there. Not with Jesus at the same time, but I was there. I actually got to be in the Garden of Gethsemane when in Jerusalem. And I think there's probably, 20 olive trees, maybe less. Beautiful place. Same olive trees. Still there. And I didn't know where Jesus was. This is so powerful. It can be emotional to know that you're in the very place where Jesus cried out, you know. And He asked Peter, James, and John, you know, to come and pray with Him, and they fall asleep. But Jesus is there, and He says these words. And listen, the Spirit of the Lord, when Jesus is in His deepest crisis and deepest moment of greatest despair and His human doubt, because Jesus was a human being who was sinless, but His doubt was there, and He knew He was going to face the most horrendous scourging and ripping apart of His body when He went to pay that debt for us on the cross. And there's this travailing time of prayer in that garden. And He says, "Abba," which is the Greek word for dad. Dad. Daddy. 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 If it's possible, could you have this cup pass over me? Dad. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. And that, my precious friends, is the spirit of adoption that's in you today. The verse declares it right there on your paper. "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear." Would you go ahead and underline "spirit of slavery" and circle "fear"? "But what have you received? For you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, 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 Daddy, Daddy, Abba, Father." I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm a child of God. Let's say it. I am no longer a slave to fear. I'm a child of God. And this is very important foundation, because Jesus has a covenant with us, and He's given us His new spirit, and His new spirit, I love what Paul said. It's the next verse. He says, "Look, I want you to stir up the gift that was given to you by the laying on of my hands." And what that gift was the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where He began to pray in tongues, pray in His new language. He said, "I need you to stir this up. I need you to stir this up, because God hasn't given you this spirit called fear. God has given you His power, love." This version says self-control. Many of you are used to the version that says a sound mind. Power, love, the sound mind. And there are moments that you have a panicky, how many panicky moments? If you go through and you're reading all the news and you are just, here's what can happen. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but you can go ahead and borrow from the future, can't you? How many ever opened up that door? I want to go ahead and tell you, the future without Jesus is a bunch of landmines in the present. But with Jesus, you can walk into the future day by day. Is that right? Oh, hallelujah. It's good to be with you today. I feel like we're going to just rise up together and do something good. There are toxic ideas, toxic thoughts that you get in your mind, toxic things that happened to us. There's a lady named Dr. Carolyn Leaf, and she explains scientifically how the brain works. And when you speak negative things and fear and those kind of things, when you speak that, it goes and it creates it's amazing, but the synapses in the brain look just like trees. They look just like trees. Seen the pictures of them of the brain. And the mind, when you speak, you're wired for God's love. And when you speak the things that line up with the love of God, it forms a fruitful-looking tree. When you speak the things that actually are full of negativity and fear, it actually makes a little, it looks bad. It looks like a dried-up thing. Listen, thoughts have real estate. They take up real estate. And if you repeat negative things over a period of your lifetime, there's a lot of people that, I don't remember enough, and they end up with your conditioning of your brain to shut off the ability to remember because it does what you speak to it. Isn't it amazing? I'm going to get her DVDs and stuff and work on a discipleship course based on, so that your understanding of faith doesn't have to be so much just about you're having to have faith in it. When you can see the actual science and how your words affect your actual brain cells, you'll go, oh my gosh, I need to detour away from this stuff and begin speaking into things that produce life in my mind, life in my body, life. Amen? Because you can jeopardize yourself and cut off your life by using negative thoughts and words. But you have the spirit of adoption now, and you don't have to go back into the slavery to fear. But you can cry, Abba, Father, in the crucible moments. It's good to just say it every day, because He cares about us. Before I give you the next fill-in-the-blank here, I'd like to go to another Bible story. There was this Jairus. Was a guy from the synagogue in the days of Jesus, and he ran up to Jesus and he says, my daughter, she's at the point of death. He runs up and he says, if you'll come to my house and lay your hands on her, she'll be healed. And then right then breaks through the crowd is that woman that has been struggling with this sickness, this is called the issue of blood. And she's saying, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. She's been speaking and she works through. And Jesus is, he's headed to Jairus' house. And suddenly he feels virtue flow out of him. He's like, whoa, who touched me? And Peter's like, what? Everybody's touching you. What's this? No. Somebody. And there she is. And she's like, and she's healed because she reached and she touched him. And his power went inside of her. And said, don't be afraid. You know, you're healed. Your faith has made you well. And then right then at that time, here comes the servants, and they say, it's too late. She's already dead. Don't bother the teacher any further. Why trouble him? I think part of the problem there was just the word teacher, because he's the resurrection and the life. He's God Almighty, right? And so I kind of liken this to a situation in my life where you're hoping and you're trusting God to come through and then everything goes south. How many of you had those? It's kind of like an arrow of panic hits you. Right when you're trusting God and then everything goes south and it shifts and your shield of faith has now a fiery dart in it. Or just say your heart does. And you feel panicky and an arrow has hit you and it's like, why? It's over. It's done. Has anybody gone through this recently? I got some good news for you, because Jesus has some words to address that, and they're the next fill in the blank. And I want you to begin speaking this, Because he turns right there and he says, do not fear, only believe. Do not fear, only believe. Do not fear. So go ahead and say, I will not fear. I will only believe. Do not fear. I will only believe. Do not fear. I will only believe. You need to start saying it. This is not how high you jump when you come to church. It's how good you walk when you leave. And if you just go right out and just start speaking all your fears all over the place, oh, I'm afraid of this, oh, I'm afraid of that, oh, I'm afraid of this, you're going to just damage, it's called brain damage. It destroys the brain. Only believe, only believe, only believe. I will not fear. Go ahead and say it again. I will not fear. I will only believe. And this situation was set up because he's dead. She's dead. And Jesus, in the midst of when it all looks like it's... I've had a situation like that just recently. I had a high hope for something, and suddenly it was like it looked like it wasn't going to happen. Anybody? I had to back up, pray. Oh, boy. What's going to happen now? And what happened is there was a vacuum. And in my mind, there's this empty spot. And there's this place. And, you know, nature abhors a vacuum, and so does the devil. And the moment I don't have a sense of what's going to happen now, hell says, I know what's going to happen, and begins to spew fear into it. How are you there? Starts to throw fear and throw things of the unknown. Says, this is not going to happen the way you thought. It's all nothing's going to come through like you thought. It's bringing all that fear right into that situation. Now there's a power there. Now there's the power of the adversary, and it's a fearful thing, and it's like the strength of hell. And Jesus said, do not fear, only believe. And so I started heading. He started picking out people. Peter, James, and John, you guys come with me. Everybody else. When you're going to deal with something, you need people who have faith with you. You need to not pour out your fears so everybody can have fear with you. You need to select the group that you're going to walk with. Amen? Don't pour it out over everybody. Get those guys that you know are going to walk in this situation with you. Then he goes in the house, right? And he gets there, and there's all this commotion. And in that day, apparently, people would be actually hired to be mourners, and they would cry to get the people who were in grief to begin to, you know, let the grief out. And they're all there. They're all there. And whether they're paid or not, I'm telling you, the moment you just decide that you're going to have faith when everybody else sees it's not going the way that you thought, there's a different adversary. And these people mocked. They laughed. Jesus said these words, she's not dead, she's only asleep. And they all laughed. He spoke faith and they reacted. I'm telling you, man, when you were trying to get the job done, you don't need that stuff. But it didn't hinder. Are you anybody here? I think there's a little wisdom dropping in. I believe two things today. I believe that the Lord is actually going to shore up some areas of faith in us. And he's actually going to overthrow some fear today. He's already started that today. He's already started. And give you the ability to stand in there. Because do not be a weak pushover spiritually. Not today. Not today. Today's not the time to leave your Bible out somewhere and not pray. Not today. These are the last days. This is not the day where you just ignore the truth of the Word of God. This is not the day where you don't pray and seek the Lord. This is the day you seek the Lord and walk with the Lord and worship the Lord and know Him. This is the day. Because there's many going to fall away. Jesus said that in Matthew 24. Today is the day that you buck it up and say, I'm the Lord's, and He is mine. And we're going to walk it out together, and I'm going to go all the way through, because I'm going to endure to the end, and I'm going to be all His. This is not the day to turn around and say, oh, and go dabble in this and dabble in that, and get all infected with the spirit of the world. This is the day to draw the line and say, I'm walking with Jesus. And fear come and try to box your ears in. And you just get up and box its ears in. Because when that vacuum shows up, you fill it with praise. And you declare, I trust God. I will not fear. I will only believe. And with faith and patience, you inherit the promises. And the Lord put that in me. This week, it was like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And he said, well, with faith and patience. First of all, I see you running around in circles there, little boy. And I'm God Almighty. And I made the heavens and the earth. And if I can do all that, why don't you just quit looking at the temporal things just for a moment and look up here. As Grandma used to say, look up here, son. Look up here to me. And let's go ahead and pull down whatever's between us just for a minute. Today I went out to pray in the backyard, and that crow, there was a crow in the tree. Backstory. Years ago in the parking lot, years ago when we first got here, there were crows that started coming in droves on our property. And I would pull up, and they'd go, ah, ah, ah. And one time, before we even, right when he had the parking lot, right after that, they were all like walking, like they were like a little military group walking in a line. It was freaking me out. And the Lord was, at that time, he had an assignment. He says, every time you see the crows, you pray in the spirit and command that spirit of death to leave. And I would start praying that, and I'd pull up, and they, and I'm not kidding. It was like, I say, in the name of Jesus, be gone. They would swoop down at me. It was freaky. It was for a while there. Several weeks went by, and I would run in. I wonder what the neighbors thought. I was, in the name of Jesus, I'd be gone. You know, and they run off, and I'd clap, you know, clap my hands and swoop, you know, shoo them away. I haven't had a crow problem in years. And this morning, I open up the door and go out on the deck, right up there in the tree. I'm going, you got to be kidding me. In the name of Jesus. I was hoping Heather, I wouldn't wake Heather up. It was a little early, but she's on the other side of the building, you know, the house there. I started praying in the spirit. You know, shoot my... I started praying, and it went like nothing mattered. I went, no, 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 no. Be gone, and it flew off. And I thought, wow, I wonder if that's a sign this morning of an... of the, so I'm thinking, okay, that's when I started shifting my notes. Say, so we're going to go ahead and deal with whatever's trying to encroach upon our flock. And listen, go ahead and tell somebody, the Lord is my refuge. He's my refuge. He's my stronghold. The Lord is my strong tower. So the righteous run into it, and they're safe. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you. Let's go ahead and applaud the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise the Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my rock. He's my shield. Praise the Lord. An arrow may fly by night, but it will not harm you. Thank you, Jesus. Pestilence by day will not come near your dwelling. That's the word of God. I guess we should go on to point number 3. Let me go one way before we do. Don't go there yet. Let me just say, what happened? Jesus raised that little girl. And there's somebody here today that needs to understand, you stand in faith and do not fear, and God's going to turn that situation right around. You don't accept it. Don't accept it. You turn it around. Don't accept defeat. Don't accept it. Don't accept it. Let's don't accept defeat. Jesus has called us to touch a city. I'm not accepting defeat. Hallelujah. Well, now wonder what how does it work if you're not fearful? How does it work? And I got the story of David in the Old Testament. We'll read a little part of it. When you're not fearful, when you're walking with the Lord, this story illustrates this. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. But David heard of it and went down to the stronghold, and now the Philistines had come and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. The adversary heard there's a new boy on the block.
The adversary heard there's a new thing going on, and we're going to contest it. The adversary heard that we're putting a roof on a historic building. The adversary heard that you have been praying for people you don't know to come to know Jesus. The adversary heard that there's love rising up in the group of people, and they're reaching out beyond themselves to touch a people that don't know the Lord. And so the Philistines gather in the valley, set up camp to go and fight. Now here's what you do when you got your head on right. David inquired of the Lord. How many of you just run off your own way? Let me go ahead and just say again, trust God's way, it works. Trust God's way, it works. If you burn out on your own way, trust God's way now, it works. Go ahead and stop and inquire. Inquire of the Lord. Learn how to inquire. We talked a little bit about that last week. Learn how to allow the blood of Jesus to cleanse you and make your reception fine. In other words, just take some rubbing alcohol and clean off your antennas. Open up your spirit and your heart through worship, and then desire to hear what He would say to you. And be open to the spontaneous thought that'll drop in your heart. It'll promote faith. Listen for Him. Or He might just show you something. He'll just flash something in your heart. And then stop and hold on to that and allow His presence to begin cascading in your heart and mind because of what He's shown you. And draw close to Him and listen to Him, because His Spirit affirms those things that He says to you. And they become life to you, because you're His sheep. And His sheep know His voice when they inquire. And David inquired. He inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you give them into my hand?" And the Lord said to David, "Go up, for I will certainly give the Philistines into your hand." That's pretty good. And David came to Baal-perazim, and David defeated them there. I love how that, "I'll give them to you," and then David defeated them. I just think that's cool. It's kind of like the sword of the Lord and Gideon. I'll give them to you, I'll defeat them. And David went and defeated them, because the Lord said so. And he said, "The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breaking flood." Therefore, the name of that place is called Baal-perazim. Now, watch this. We've always said God of the breakthrough, but I want to flip it just a little bit and let you see maybe another definition for Baal-perazim, because it's not Jehovah-perazim, it's Baal. Look at the next verse, verse 21. This is 2 Samuel 5, verse 21. "And the Philistines left their idols there, and David and his men carried them away." I think they had a barbecue or something, I'm not sure. So basically, it's Baal was broken through. Let's go ahead and say fear was broken through. Let's go ahead and say your bondage was broken through. That thing that's been resisting you for years, it was broken through. Hey, but I want to go ahead and tell you, it's a whole lot easier to get free than to live free. It's easier to get delivered than to stay delivered. I'll show you. "And the Philistines came up yet again." This verse is exactly like the next. The verse 18 and 22 are exactly the same, except it's "came up yet again and spread out on the valley of. Let's go ahead and put up the point. Point number two. When the "yet again" comes. What is your "yet again"? That's the question. What is your "yet again"? Because a "yet again" is going to come. And when the "yet again" shows up, you got to inquire, don't you? And when the "yet again" come, what happened? Did he go out and do the same thing? No, no, no. David didn't go do the same thing. He inquired. Some of you need to quit, to break out of the habit of just going and doing what you think you did last time, and go inquire of the Lord. The Lord made sure you made it grown a little bit more, and the Lord showed you something else to give you to help you walk in the freedom of the victory, right? I've had the Lord, man, I've had the Lord. I had to deal with a work of darkness against me. And the Lord said, you don't need to repent. Just go ahead and take a dominion over it. He just didn't know what it was. I didn't want to partner with it. It was just trying to come down on me. You learn a lot when you're doing this job. I say, hallelujah. See, no wimps allowed. You know, you got to go through this stuff. Because there's a destiny right out ahead. And you got to become something to get there. And there's off ramps, and you can get off anytime you want. Jesus didn't have to be the Savior. He could have said, you know, I don't want to go. And I could have stopped in Gethsemane and said, I quit. And we would all be doomed to an eternal darkness. And there are moments where the destiny calling on your life becomes excruciating. And the press is on. And you can say, you know, I just don't think I want to do it. And there's a whole bunch of souls that won't be touched and brought into God's kingdom because you decided, I don't want to do it. And God gives you the permission to go do that. But you will show up before Him one day and you say, here's the other thing. How come I can't? Most people, I don't understand. This is true. Most people always live in what's next. I'll be happy when. I'll be happy when. I'll be happy when. And they always think about it's what I'm doing is going to make me happy. And it's not that at all. It's what you're becoming. The key to all this is what you're becoming. Can you become today in the test you're in what you need to be for this tomorrow? If you can't become in the heat of the moment what you need to be, you can't take the destiny. Today's test is tomorrow's release of hope and all the things that you have. Are you there with me? How many of you go, I need to hear this today and I don't want to hear it, but I'll go ahead and hear it. Is that right? This is a theme. There are people that are have callings on their life and they're just not in them. They got off their off ramp. They went another way. The heat got up there and they decided, nope, that's okay. Lord loves them. We love them. Everybody loves them. But there's stuff that you, if you don't go the distance where you are and pass the test, where you are. And you know, there's that prophetic sense when the Holy Spirit shows up. When you're talking like this, He'll say, yeah, here's where you wanted to be, right? And this is what you got to do to get there. Some of you, it might just be, I want a thorough work of forgiveness in you. I want you to become my representative of being a forgiving person. Others, hey, you don't really have your financial trust in me together yet. And the things I want to do in you require you to manage with me in mind. And there's that thing. It says, I need to learn this. I need to walk in this because what I want to become is tied to that lesson. Is that right? How many of you know you don't go from the first grade to the sixth grade? How many of you know you go from sixth grade to college? No. You've got to go through the development. Listen to what happens. This is hilarious, actually. I just think this is hilarious. This is a hoot. So David, now this is the second time. So David inquired of the Lord, shall I go up? Shall I, you know, and the Lord says, you shall not go up. Go around to the rear and come against them opposite the balsam trees. And when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, then rouse yourself, for then the Lord has gone out before you to strike down the army of the Philistines. Now here's what's going on. The Philistines have come this time and they're ready. They've come back yet again. And they know it's going to be a head-on thing. And the Lord says, no, it's not. No. Because David inquired. Now could you imagine what that would have been like with the younger soldiers? And the older commanders that are hanging around David. What that would have been like? Says, we're going to go out and fight him? Yeah, just wait on. David's talking to the Lord. He's what? He's inquiring of the Lord what the plan is. Oh, okay. We're not going to go fight like we did. No. We're waiting. It's David. We wait. Find out what God's going to say to him. Okay. Words come down. Okay, guys, we're going to go hide around the back here. And we're going to wait for the sound of armies marching in the top of the trees. What? What are you talking about? And there comes an instruction, and it doesn't match the natural mind. And there are all the seasoned guys know this is what we do. David hears from God, we go out and we do what he says, and we always win. We don't do what he says, we lose. And sometimes faith doesn't look normal to the natural man. Sometimes these things just don't look right. And people will balk it because they're not practiced. And they don't understand a word from God. This is, and the Lord, basically the Lord said to me, by faith and patience you inherit the promises. Be quiet. Hold on. Just come and worship me for a while. I asked the Lord, what do you want me to do? Worship me. Just worship. Just come in. You need some help. And your soul, you just worship and you just come here and just come here. Let me hug you. Are you there? You just let me wrap my arms around you and just be still and let me work. And tomorrow, I'll tell you tomorrow. Okay. Because I'm God Almighty and I'm going to just fill up this vacuum in this space above your head. Because I've never changed, I'm still here, and I'm going to go ahead and be God, and you're not. Are you there? If you want God to move in your life, give Him a lot of room. Come on, somebody, give Him some room to do it. Give Him some room. Give God room. If you're getting in the way all the time, it's not going to work. And when the yet again comes, I want to ask you, what have you had breakthrough for and it's come yet again? What in your life that you need to now inquire the Lord afresh and do what He says now? Are you there? What is He saying now? What is He saying to you now? Let's just lift our heads to the Lord and begin to set in motion in your own heart an inquiry of the Lord. There is an adversary, his name is fear, and he's coming to try to steal and kill and destroy and take away from your life. But the Lord is coming to say, I want you to come and hear what I say. And if he just tells you, I want you to just worship me for a half an hour today, then you should go do that. And to see how good you are at just doing that. Because what he wants to do is have a people who will respond to him. You might say, well, that's a long time, Pastor. Well, the Lord may not say a half hour to you. I started praying 20 minutes a day, and it's not enough now. It's like, man, I just can't. 20 minutes is like goes by so fast. 3 or 4 weeks ago, it was like a whole lot of time. Now it's like, wow. It's like going to the gym. You work out. It's like, man, those weights aren't heavy no more. I need some more. The Lord says, will you just press in, love me, worship me? Spirit of God, fall fresh on our people today. Renew the spirit, because I'm going to tell you something. The perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Most of the time, when fear is there, you just got off base of how much God loves you and cares about you. But perfect love, Bible says, casts out fear. Let's say it again. Perfect love casts out fear. And if you don't hang around with the one who loves you, fear's got a greater capacity. But if you draw into the one who loves you, everybody say it again. He's my refuge. He's my fortress. God is the lover of my soul. Let's praise Him for a moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Come on up, honey.
Praise the Lord. Yes. I don't know about you. Was I the only one that needed to hear this? Well, the reason why is it's not many of us have walked with the Lord a long time and we've dealt with fear. I can remember having fear hitting the platform and falling completely out when I was afraid that I was going to die. Remember, I got a bad report from the doctor and my prophetic husband. Do you remember? I stepped foot on the front and he said fear and commanded. I hit the ground and I was delivered from fear. Maybe you don't have fear per se, like a generational fear, and we can help you with that if you think that's what it is. You know, your mama had it, your daddy had it, and grandma had it, and everybody else had it. But there is a fear that is going through the land. It's called a power demon. when Pastor said, did you feel, and you just feel fear come on you? How many of you just all of a sudden, and you have this foreboding pressure against you? So I see some heads shaking. Can I just see a hand or two, and then I'll know if I'm on track? So you've been feeling this foreboding, and all of a sudden, and you know, you consider yourself a reasonable person of faith, you know. Now, I will have to tell you, going downtown, the gatherings, that's tested my faith and struck fear from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, and the devil had nothing to do with it. It was just me. But I want to talk to you, beloved, about a fear that is called a power demon. It is over cities. It's over our nation. Pastor talked about it a little bit, all the prophecies, all the doom and gloom, and all of that. In fact, there's a scripture, and I don't know where it is, and those of you can find it, you probably do, baby. Men's hearts will fail them from fear, looking at those things that are coming upon the earth. That is in the Word. We are in those days that men's hearts will fail them. What does that mean? Your heart. Heart is your spirit. Dr. Failinger, the physical heart could even be affected if fear comes, correct me please, if fear comes over you and you allow it to take you out and not let Jesus reside there with love, I believe it can physically affect your heart. Now in this case, I think he's talking mostly about the spirit of man not working. And when fear comes, it pushes you out of that place of love. And beloved, everything we have in relationship to God is that we believe that He loves us. In these days, the spirit of fear will come and push you away from the fact that you are loved. Loved so much that you were bought with a price. The precious blood of Jesus. We must stand firm together in faith, encouraging, believing, and saying, where did that go? I will
not fear, I'll only believe.
I will not fear, I'll only believe. I don't believe in it. I think I'm going to write it on my right there in pen. Before the end of the day, you can come up and see that I will have it written there. I need to be reminded. In these days, we must encourage ourselves all the more. Now, there's a team of us, Pastor Ray and Lisa and Roger and I and Pastor Terry. Will you stand up here, Ray and Lisa? I'm going to tell you, and Lisa, Kathy,
Connard,
Eleanor, okay, Andrea, the elders. We have been around. And none of us are immune to the power demon of fear that is surging through our nation. If I've forgotten anybody, you know who you are. It's surging. It comes and it goes. And it's over more major cities and it's over our little city too. Okay? We can't afford to let it demoralize us. Diffuse us, discourage us, and so we stand together. And it's okay if it got you. You know what it means to, I got hit. It's okay. You don't have to be ashamed if you got hit. We love you and you love us and we love each other and we can get healed and we can get delivered. I'm sorry I'm emotional. I only had 2 hours sleep last night. But that's what we're here for, is we're here to say, I will not live like that anymore. I will not fear, I will only believe. And I don't know what it is in your life. You're the only one that knows what it is. But we're here to say and stand with you, and if necessary, kick out anything that's trying to debilitate you in the name of Jesus, because I'll be the first one to get it. Okay? It's okay if you lost your footing. Let's get it back in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Will you stand, please?
Yes, amen. Let's go ahead and lift our hearts. Let's go and worship the Lord just for a moment. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We will not fear. We only believe in you and all your power and a dominion and authority. We thank you, Lord, for you've given us kingdom authority, and we can trample on snakes and scorpions, all the works of darkness. Nothing shall by any means harm us. We praise you, Lord. Perfect love casts out fear. We've been made more than overcomers. Hallelujah. More than overcomers. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. Really keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Before you go, hallelujah. I have, hang on. Stand right there. I feel like this is more pervasive than maybe we even have time to deal with up here, but you can certainly come up here. Honey, I know there's an anointing on you right now. If you've struggled so bad that you almost feel debilitated in the name of Jesus, then I want you to come up here. But did you hear that? Debilitated, I want you on the platform. But if you've just been being buffeted by this thing, I want you to stick your hands straight up in the air right now. Not you. You're going to pray for them. Okay? We're going to pray for
you. Oh, that's hilarious. I got you.
Okay?
Oh, I got you.
All right. If you've just been buffeted, hands up in the air.
I got it.
Buffeted. Debilitated, you come up and you see us right now. All right? Hands up in the air. Here comes the anointing of love in the name of Jesus.
We're just going to chase the crow right out of the tree. Hallelujah. We break your power and hold. Be gone from this flock in the name of Jesus. We take dominion over you, fear. In Jesus' name, we buffet you back. We take authority over all the works of darkness. And we go ahead and praise the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We receive the anointing that destroys the yoke and all the harassments. We cast them down in Jesus' name. There you go. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let us shout up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, just go ahead and say, I receive your love, Lord Jesus. And your perfect love. Cast out all fear. Hallelujah. Let's go. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here comes the Spirit of love. Hallelujah. Receive it. Receive it. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Okay. Shake it a little bit. Go, okay. I feel better. You feel better? Amen. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. Now, for the debilitating one, nobody's looking at you because I'm first one there. Okay, you come on up, and the rest of you are released to fellowship, and please go get your children and thank our wonderful workers. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.